you here, and that's just a bit of a, I don't know what you call it, a bit of a comedy on if Joseph and Mary. We're doing it today. This baby, is he going to be perfect? That's what we're looking at today. Who do you say Jesus is? Really, that's the question of Christmas, isn't it? Is he just another birth that happened all them years ago? Is it just another person, or is he the Son of God that he claims to be? We're going to be reading, continuing on that little story there, and I'm going to be pulling out a few things. But let me just pray, hey? Father, I do want to thank you this morning that as we gather together, it's not just another week, another Sunday, but it's an opportunity to meet with you. And so, Father, I just pray that you would breathe upon these words of mine, that we don't hear my words or my voice, but Holy Spirit, that you would just speak into our lives this morning in a way that changes us from the inside out. Lord, I thank you that you're real, that you're here, that you love us, and that you want to do that. So I just trust you with that. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, we've been looking at this series called Christmas Gifts because with the birth of Jesus comes so many wonderful gifts and things for our life. You know, not just the Christmas story, not just the nativity scene, but so many things. And we looked at hope, we've looked at the birth of the King, peace. And today I want to look a little bit at joy, that Christmas joy. So let's just get into the Word of God, and then I'm just going to pull out a few things that we're going to look at this morning that I think can radically change your life forever and ever and ever. Here we go. So Luke, we're going to continue on Luke chapter 2 and verse 8 there. It says after that what we just read before, what Caleb read. Thanks, Caleb. Notice Caleb got all the small verses. He got all the little lines, and he didn't even get the hard words, and it was like, I think he did that well. Luke, verse 8, chapter 2 says this, and there were shepherds living out in their fields nearby. Aren't you glad you weren't a sheep shearer back in these days? You actually had to live with your clientele out there. Shepherds with them in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. So this wasn't just another day at the office for these guys. And they were terrified. That word really means they were absolutely megaphobia. They were absolutely terrified at these angels. It says, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you, this is the one line I want to give you today. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Good news that will bring great joy for all people. I want to ask you this morning, maybe this year, is Christmas a time of joy for you? And maybe it's not. Maybe this year, 2020, a year like no other, maybe it's actually a time where it's not so joyful, but it's actually been one of heartache this year, one of loss, someone's missing at the table. It's not so joyful. And you know, that's really why we need to hear what I'm going to share this morning, is why we need Christmas joy. Because life isn't always full of happy moments. We need this joy, and they were heralding a joy that is not like any other joy. They weren't heralding, hey, this is going to be a great day and you're going to have a good time. Because joy is so much different from happiness. And happiness comes when it's all happening in our life. The kids are healthy, the bills are paid, and everyone's happy. Happy wife, happy life, and I'm happy. But happiness is so vulnerable to circumstances and situations. What the angels are talking about here is a joy that can get down on the inside of you, that even when you're not happy, this joy still gives you strength to keep walking on. This is the type of joy that we need going into a new year. It's a joy not founded in your circumstance and situation, but a joy that is founded in a person who gets on the inside of you. His name is Jesus, and gives you strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Such an important topic. True Christmas joy can be found in the next line, verse 11, which says, today. I love that. It could be today for someone here this morning that they experience this joy in the town of David in Bethlehem. A Savior has been born to you. Notice the word, a Savior. He is the Messiah, the Lord. That's where joy is found. When you realize that Jesus came on a rescue mission to save you. And when that day gets real to you, you realize he is the Messiah. He is the Lord. He is God with skin on. Joy will start bubbling up. Verse 12, this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Lying in a manger. Who knows what a manger is? A manger is a feeding trough for animals. I just have to stop and think, a manger? I mean, you know, we see the story, we go to the shopping center and look at the nativity scene, and let's face it, the birth of Jesus looks cute, comfortable, and cozy. It really does. It looks really nice from far. But it's probably very far from nice. I remember we went to Broome this year, and we've been for a few holidays in Broome. And you know, when we went there the first time, see the postcards with the most amazing thing we're going to do in Broome, and that is we're going to ride the... Oh yeah, like the camels. It looks so exotic, and they're on the, you know, the sun's going down, and the on Cable Beach there, and what could be better? I'm thinking, this is going to be so beautiful. It looks so exotic, and I said to Sky, let's just go the first, we've got a few nights down here, so let's just go and let's have a look and just watch the first night. So we get there and we have our little picnic on the sunset's going down. I'm getting all excited. And then I discovered something. Before you can even see the camels, you can smell the camels coming. And suddenly this thick air, aura and atmosphere comes over you as they're coming towards you. And all you can smell is camel dung. And what the, I could go on, I could elaborate, but it just stunk. And they got all the, and as they got closer, the exotic thing that looked really nice from far was very far from nice. And to this day, I have not ridden a camel. And I've denied my children of the same privilege, experience. But that's how it is a little bit with the birth in a stable of all places. Listen, God didn't roll out royal red carpet, and he didn't book ahead at the Jerusalem penthouse casino. But it was in a stable, and it was in a feeding trough surrounded by animals with urine and all the smell. Why? I believe, could it be that God was making a statement? As he was entering, he was saying, I don't come to you as a God who is distant and far and above and that you will never relate to, but I come on your level. I come as a human. I come not just as a human. I come in the muck and the mess of life because I will connect with you no matter what mucky, messy, stinky situation you find yourself in. That's the God of the world. That's the God of not just the Bible, of the planet. That is God. He is the God that loves you so much. He came in the mess, in the muck, to relate to us, to show us what God is like, to say, I love you so much. Jesus Christ made a statement. And verse 13 says this, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying this, glory to God in the highest. And we'll hear this a lot, don't you reckon, even in not just church circles, but just in the world. And on earth, peace. Peace on earth. If I ever win Miss Australia or Miss Universe, I'm not planning to, but you know, they will say, I want peace on earth. And if that's what Jesus came for peace on earth, if that's what he really came to give, who thinks that's not really working out that good at the moment? Peace on earth. Well, where's the peace, Jesus? Where's the peace on earth? But this is a greater peace, like it's a greater joy that they're heralding, that this is not just a peace between nations. This is a peace in your heart on whom his favor rests. This is a peace that man needs to have with God. That people and God can be reconnected and have peace. Christmas peace is so much better than world peace. It's the peace where Jesus gets on the inside of you to bring reconciliation between you and God. And it's incomplete without that last part on whom his favor rests. How do I know that God's favor rests on me? How do I know that his favor, his smile, his blessing on me? Well, the way you know is if you've received the Christmas gift. If you've received what the angels are heralding, that there is good news that will cause great joy for all people when it's been discovered. Don't you love that last thing? All people. There is no one disqualified from the Christmas gift. No one that cannot access what God is wanting to bring. I hope you've discovered it this morning. It would be a shame to live your life and not discover the gift that Jesus brings that is so important to our lives. Could you imagine if you had a winning lotto ticket for $5 million at home and you knew it was there But all you did was just know about it. Wouldn't that be such a shame if you didn't go down, take that ticket and redeem it? See, it's great news. It's good news that you've got a lotto ticket that's won. But the joy comes when it's redeemed and accessed into your life. Wouldn't it be good if somebody came up to you today and said, hey, I just want to pay your house off for you. I'm just going to pay your mortgage off. No strings attached. That would be good news. Would not that be good news? Would you smile? Would you just go, oh, thanks. No, you'd be excited. That is pretty good news. But it would bring great joy when it was believed and received and made a difference in your life. That's how good news becomes great joy, is when it is discovered that it is for you. And Jesus came not just to pay off a house or anything like that. He came to pay that debt that we owe of being a sinner in need of saving, separated from a holy God by our sin. And we needed saving. And that's why Jesus came, to pay that debt. The Bible says that we owed. He came and paid a debt he did not owe, because we owed a debt we could not pay. Christ Jesus came to take my sin away. That's the greatest message of Christmas. Paul, the guy that wrote the New Testament, he understood this personally himself. In 1 Timothy 1:15, he said this. He said, here is a trustworthy saying. This, you can trust this, and it deserves full acceptance. Jesus, Christ Jesus, came into the world. What was his purpose? The ultimate thing? To save sinners. And then he gets personal and he says this, of who I am the worst. Like it's some sort of competition or something. Like, who's the worst sinner? And maybe we'll just for a moment share with the person next to you the biggest sin you've ever done, and we'll see who's not really. Don't start that. And sin is just sin. It's just he's separated from God. But Paul got this so personally. It cut him to the bone that he needed forgiveness. This was something real in his life. He discovered that the good news for all people included him, someone that was killing Christians. And then God would use to write the New Testament. See, the reason for the season is not really just Jesus, as we say. You know, he's the reason for the season. You know, the reason for the season is, well, it's sin. It really is. That Jesus didn't just come to have 33 years to sort of wander around. He was on a rescue mission for our lives. The Bible says that he who knew no sin, Jesus, the perfect Son of God, who never sinned, never contaminated by the blood of humanity, born of a virgin. Why? Because if he had been born of not a virgin, he would have been contaminated by the blood that goes through you and my veins when we were born, a sinful blood. And you know, my kids, I don't need to teach them to try and sin. There's no classes called sinning class. They just get, they just start to grow up and they just point and blame other people. And it's just in us, we are actually separated. We're different from God. See, that's what the word holy means. We are different. This isn't a holiday. This is a holy day. Because the holy Son of God, who was not infected with sin, was born to connect with us. And see, we just do. The biggest thing that holds people back from really knowing God is not understanding and maybe not admitting that I am a sinner in need of saving. Some people say, you know what, I've done a few good things and I'm pretty sure they'll be good enough when I get to heaven. You know, if good people go to heaven, heaven will be empty. It will be empty if good people go there, because all of us, the Bible says, have sinned and fallen short of the goodness, that perfection of God's holiness, and we need this gift to forgive us, to bring us back into not a religion, into a relationship with Jesus. That's how it was for me, even as a 10-year-old. You might be as young as that here today. Even as a 10-year-old, I remember hearing this so simply. And it seems so simple, but it's so profound that I just need this forgiveness. I need what Jesus came to give, this Christmas gift. John 3:16, the famous verse that we even sung this morning, says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Notice the first half of that verse is all about God. God loved the world. God loves you. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done. God loves you. So much so that he gave his one and only Son. Then the second half is all about us. That whoever believes in him shall not perish. What does that mean? Shall not have to pay the penalty and price for their sin, but will have everlasting life. What does that mean? That means they will have a connection, a relationship with God restored in them. Isn't that what Adam and Eve had before sin came into the world? They connected with God and had a relationship with Him. And Jesus came to restore a relationship that you and I need. Amen? And so if you receive the Christmas gift, one thing I've discovered is when you discover it, you realize that it really is directed to you personally. And that's one of my, I've got a couple of take-home points. You've got to understand it's directed to you personally. When we used to get gifts as kids, me and my brother, who was around the similar age, you might relate to this, you'd get ready to open your presents and you notice that his gift and your gift are the exact same size. And I always was like, you know what? We've got the same thing again. I'm going to quickly open. I want to find out first. It's nothing worse than him opening it first, then I just open it and we get the same pair of jocks and socks again. You know, it's wonderful to get them things and we need them and they might sound like they're a personal item, but they're not really that personal to your life. They're not really directed to you. There's nothing better than getting a gift that really, really impacts you. You know, when someone has put thought into it and thought, you know, this is something that's personal to them. They're going to love this. They're the type of gifts that I love getting, that I bet you love receiving. When it's really directed into your life, it's really personal. And the Christmas gift really is God getting personal with us. When Jesus came, he was getting very personal to give us a gift that was unique to you. See, following Jesus isn't becoming a part of some sort of cookie cutter army where we're all the same, think the same, do the same. But God wants to impact your life uniquely and do something inside of you that is just unique. Yes, it's the same thing that we are sinners in need of saving, but how he lives out his life through you will be very personal. You know, that's why one of his names, Jesus' names when he came, is Emmanuel. And the word Emmanuel, what does it mean? It means God with us. We need God with us. Imagine living life with God with you, waking up in the morning knowing God is with me. That's where true Christmas joy comes from, that it is God with me. Not just with me when everything's going well, but he walks with me through the valley of the shadow of death. No matter what I go through, God's promise is his presence will never leave me nor forsake me. There's nothing I can do so bad to stuff up that he's like, I don't like you anymore. He loves you. His love for you is not about your performance and behavior. It's all about what Jesus did. And his performance and his behavior, all that we can do is believe and trust. Someone once said to me, if the gospel, which that's the word for good news, gospel just means good news, if it ever sounds too good to be true, you're probably hearing the true gospel. Because it's just so good, God's grace. I'm not saying we don't need to turn from our sin and say yes and accept Jesus, but there's nothing you can do to earn his love. You've got it right now. Isn't that good news? Some people that discovered this I love in the Bible was a guy called Zacchaeus. Now Zacchaeus, well, not a very tall man, a short guy, but he was what they called a tax collector. Well, he was a tax collector, chief tax collector, which means nobody liked him because he was in the habit of ripping everybody off. Imagine the person in the community you would never leave your kids with for even 2 seconds. That's Zacchaeus. You don't trust him at all. And you know, he was ripping people off and making all this money, and he was living this sinful life, and he found out one day that Jesus was walking through town. And the story goes that because he's a short man and there was a big crowd around Jesus, he ran ahead, and what he did was he climbed up a tree, and he's sitting in this tree waiting for Jesus. See, this is the thing. People don't generally, sometimes they do, but generally speaking, don't casually find God. But God says, if you seek me and seek me with all your heart, you will find me. If there's no hunger and yearning in your heart for God, you probably won't find him. But Zacchaeus got interested. He got intrigued, so much so that he started to seek and run and climb a tree. And he's now in a position to find God. Because if you draw near to God, but James says, he will draw near to you. But we make that first move to say, God, I want to draw near to you. And anyway, Jesus is walking past and he sees Zacchaeus in the tree. And this is what I love. He calls him by name and says, Zac, I'm going to have lunch at your house today. And he did. He had lunch at his house. Zacchaeus was so impacted by the love of Jesus. He stood up at lunch and he said, you know what? I'm going to pay everyone back that I've ripped off four times as much. He said, you know what? My life has been changed by the love of this Savior. Now, he didn't pay everyone back to try and earn and get credit with Jesus. He did that out of a love response to say, I've been loved so much. How can I not organically just share what God has done in my life? And that's what it really means. We don't come to church because we have to. We don't pray because we have to. Oh, do it because we get to, because we're in a relationship with a God who loves us and calls us by name. He even knows the amount of hairs that are on your head, the Bible says. It's getting easier for some of us, but it's hard for others. And he calls us by name. He called another guy by name called Lazarus. And Lazarus was in a tomb, dead over 3 days. And when Jesus came, his love for him called him by name. And he said, Lazarus, come forth, come out. And I believe Jesus still calls people by name saying, hey, I see that tomb you're in. I see that darkness. I see that stuff trying to hold you in. I want to set you free. And I'm calling you by name to step out and come to me. And when you do what happened to Lazarus. They unwrapped him and he walked around with an amazing testimony that could not be denied, that Jesus goes to my second point, which is not only directed to Lazarus and you and me, but, you know, the Christmas gift is, it makes a difference. It really makes a difference in your life. Isn't it good when you get a gift or receive a gift that the word would be practical, that it's practical for my life? That's why this year I bought Sky a vacuum cleaner for Christmas, because it's really practical. Not really, I didn't really. I can get it. She's out with the kids. No, but something practical that they can use. I remember a few years ago, this sounds really bad, but I loved it. One of my favorite presents was when my brother and my dad got together and they bought me a brand new handpiece for shearing sheep. And it sounds stupid, but they're quite expensive. But I was like, beauty, this is something, and I can use this. This is going to make a big difference to my life this week. And so it is with Jesus. When you receive the Christmas gift, if there's no difference in your life, you probably haven't received Jesus, because he truly makes a difference from the inside out in your life. It's so practical. We need him to make the difference. He said it this way himself when Jesus declared in John 6:35, he said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. You know, our daily bread. Who likes to have that beautiful, that toast every morning, or that bread? There's nothing like fresh bread. And Jesus is saying, that's me. I can be that to your life every day, that it's the freshness that sustains you, that fills you. And it says, whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus is saying, for that heart, thirst and hunger that every human has, it will never be found in anything the world can offer. Isn't that the truth? It'll just leave you hungry for more, thirsty for more. But a relationship with Jesus is the satisfying thirst quencher for the soul that wants to know the meaning and purpose of their existence. That's what I love about it. He is the filler. I like this quote. It says this: if our greatest need had been for information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been for technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a savior. Forgiveness. And that's it. The Bible says, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. That's saying that being a sinner is not something you grow up and start to do when you do wrong things. It's just who we are. We're just separated from God by this. But it says our greatest need was just to be forgiven. And for us, for the Christmas gift, like any gift, my last point, I'll finish on this, is it just takes a decision. Notice they all started with D, like a good preacher would have all these points with. Thanks. A decision. Every gift must be received. You can take a gift to a birthday party and take it home with you if they don't receive it. Isn't that the truth? And that gift has not been personal to them. It has not been practical to them, and it's made no difference in their life. But when it is received is the key. This is how you get the thirst, hunger, and thirst quenched. So Romans 6:23, this verse here, says, for the wages of being in sin of us is death. What does that mean? Well, wages are something a person deserves. You don't go to your boss at the end of the week and go, thank you so much for the wages this week. I really appreciate you just doing the work. You expect wages because you deserve them for what has been done or for what you've performed. Now, the wages of being a sinner, the Bible says, is death. And that word death isn't just that we all die. It's separation eternally from God. It's that this life, this small existence we have is just a breath. You know, when you boil the kettle and a little bit of steam comes up, the vapor, it's there for a minute and it's gone. That's what the Bible talks about life. And I don't know about you, but it seems to be getting faster as we get older. And it's like it's just going faster and faster. That vapor's going to disappear one day. But that's not life. Life is eternity. You were created in the image of God, spirit, soul, and body. And your spirit will live eternally forever, the Bible declares. And I believe that. And the wages of being a sinner is death. That's what every person's in. We're all in a sinking ship. But here's the Christmas gift. The gift of God is eternal life. Where's eternal life found? It's found not in a religion, in Christ Jesus, in a relationship with Jesus as your Lord. When he's not just something you tag onto your life like another club you join or something like that, but he is your Lord. He's the one you love. He's the one that directs your decisions. He's the one that guides you. And I tell you what, he does a whole better job of guiding my life than me. There's some things that have happened in our journey, ups and downs, and I tell you what, it's just been the little God moments where he's just directed and done things that I just look back and go, man, I couldn't even think of that. I wouldn't be here in Parky in the Hills today if it wasn't for little God directions and little God leadings. And it's awesome to be able to live and know that God loves you, that he's with you, and that you're his. So I'll finish on this verse, and then we're going to get the worship team. They can come back up now if they like and do a last song. And it says, John 3:16, we've sung it, we've said it, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That is our message this Christmas. Don't miss the Christmas services this week because they are going to be really good. You guys have done such a good job in preparing and organizing it. And so bring friends. It's going to be a great services. So as I close, I want to pray for us this morning. I want to pray that maybe you've heard the Christmas story, you've looked at the nativity scene over and over, but it's lost its freshness in your life. It's not like that fresh bread. Let me tell you a story that really does it for me, and I've shared this a lot, but that's okay. I get a lot out of it when I share it. But for me, Christmas, every time this year, I get pretty emotional, really, because we're coming up to one of the greatest gifts I've ever seen given. And many of you know that gift was when our daughter Chloe gave her stem cell blood in a bone marrow transplant to our son Blaze. And we're coming up 5 years since that successful transplant happened. And I remember spending that hospital time trapped in hospital. That Christmas time, sorry, trapped in isolation, only allowed out for a few hours. I remember the feeling of, you know, this is the worst Christmas ever. You know, the only thing that held me personally up was this joy in my life that even though I'm not happy, I have a joy because God is with me. And I'll never forget when Chloe had, we had to make a decision. And we could have actually said, you know what, now no more treatment. We're not going to go down this road of having more treatment. We could have rejected the gift. I remember the oncologist looked at me and said, Brad, you've got a sibling bone marrow match. You may as well call it a miracle. And I just love that thought because when Chloe gave her blood, it was something that was personal. No other blood, they actually said that there's a matching ratio and her match was almost a perfect match to be successful to go to Blaze. It was the blood that he needed. It wasn't only personal, it was practical. It was going to make a practical difference to get into that immune system and to regenerate it in such a way that he would then live a life to fight off the infections of the world. And not only that, it was also permanent. Once it was done, it was done. And you know, we're not in a cell here, a little isolation room, struggling with a cancer, but we all have the cancer of sin in our sin-sick soul. And there's only one gift that will wash your sin away, and it's the perfect blood of Jesus Christ. When he came as a baby, he went from the cradle with a mission to get to the cross 3 years later. And on the cross, when he stretched out his hands and said, "It is finished," it wasn't his life that was finished. It was the assignment from heaven to rescue you, to rescue me. And as that blood flowed, it was the royal perfect blood. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And now all who call on the name of Jesus, the Bible declares, will be saved. And your sins are forgiven. Oh, it's a beautiful thing to be forgiven and made brand new. Does it mean you don't make mistakes and stuff up? No, it doesn't. But it means you are, in God's sight, pure, forgiven, and you have new desires and a brand new life. I'm thankful this Christmas for blood. Sounds gross, but I really am. I'm so thankful. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you this morning that as we've just sung and celebrated the Christmas story, it's more than a story. And so, Father, I pray a blessing over every person here, Lord, every soul here that you see, that you love, that you know what's going on in the deepest part of their heart and life, and you love them. I want to thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus that does wash our sin away, that, Lord, you're not an angry God, that you poured out all that anger and wrath on your own Son, so that you could love us as your children. So, Lord, I just thank you that Jesus rose from the dead and that you're here now, Lord. And I would just pray that you would make yourself real in our lives afresh this Christmas. That this Christmas wouldn't just be one of the trees and the tinsel, but, Lord, it would be one also of celebrating the real reason for the season, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of who we all need. So I just thank you for that, Lord, and we just celebrate this Christmas. And we love you. And everyone said,
Amen. Amen.